Thank you, Chairperson. Coupled to the performance indicators and the targets that we have already dealt with earlier this morning, we now get into the financial program, program 2, visible policing, as well as the sub-programs of which this program consists of. The first sub-program being crime prevention, where 17.9 billion was expended. Then borderline security, where 217 million was expended in the 2009-10 financial year, and then specialized interventions consisting of the dark units, public order policing, tactical response teams, equestrian units, special task force, and the air wing, where 1.6 billion was expended. All in all for this program, 19.7 billion. Now there's quite a number of aspects in this program. We've highlighted in the following slide, slide number 38. We have highlighted a few of these prominent features of this program. The first one being that we say it's the biggest program in the police, in the vote. It comprises 41.5% of the total allocation, and it increases from 17 billion to 19.8 billion rounded off. Number of personnel increased as indicated in the annual report for the total program from 96,000 to 98,522 year-on-year increase. Prominent expenses also in this specific financial year was the general election, 220 million spent on the security of the general election, and then also the reservist system, 128.1 million spent in respect of the reservist system. Then we also indicated the expenses for borderline control, 217.8 million spent, mostly on detached duties, vehicles, vessels, and fuel and oil. Of the 217.8 million, 93.9 million was spent on detached duties, which addresses the questions surrounding the staff in this regard as well. And then we just refer to the air fleet, quite a significant air fleet. Additionally, the helicopter procured to the value of 34.8 million. And at that point in time, the air fleet was 37 helicopters and 14 aircraft. This, in short, our main prominent aspects regarding the program visible policing from a resource point of view. Obviously, there's a lot more, but from a high-level strategic point, this is what we would like to bring to the attention of this committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
You are to respond to questions, outstanding questions.
Madam Chair, may I first put a request to the committee on the firearms issue? In view of the fact that we know that the minister soon will make certain announcements, Madam Chair, a request from our side that we possibly let those questions stand over in view of the announcements that the minister will make. Secondly, Madam Chair, on the second-hand goods, I'll ask General Nkomo to provide you with the information, and the third one outstanding was the issue of the arrests. Well, just ask General Chibo to provide you with further information. General Nkomo.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. In terms of the second-hand goods, we are still awaiting the promulgation of the regulation so that we can implement that. A government gazette has been issued for interest group to comment, and once it has been done, then the implementation will proceed. Thank you very much.
Is there a deadline, Chairperson?
We are looking the target date. We are looking to start implementation the 1st of April. But I don't have the definite date for the promulgation for the issue of the government gazette, but The normal period is that for 30 days, then after the expiry of 30 days, then we the comments that we receive are taken to be the comments from the community, and then we proceed then forth. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The arrest in relation to undocumented persons at borderline is reduced because of the following reasons. The Zimbabwean program with Home Affairs, wherein the Zimbabweans were given that exemption for 90 days to be in the country, that influenced them to go straight to the ports of entry. And secondly, is the fact that these seasonal workers during festive season or any other holidays within the year, they will go next to the police or they will just surrender themselves to be arrested so that they can be conveyed home without paying a cent. So we have realized that, and now we are working with Home Affairs to deal with them. We not normally arrest them to be a police issue. Thirdly, on CISA and recovery, that we have just started working now harmoniously with other foreign police agencies together, and as a result we become very effective, that we have an operational understanding wherein they have to deal with some other issues before we can deal with them. In other words, we are sharing responsibilities along borderline. Thank you.
Sorry, Jim. With all respect, I mean the illegal arrest was one issue. The others were the fact that there's increases in recoveries in some instances, but there's a decrease in arrest. And I don't think it quite explains why there are a decrease in the arrest. Unless what I hear you not saying is that sometimes the people get arrested on the other side before they now get arrested on our side. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what I was saying, I'm saying the people that knew that they are undocumented, that will just surrender themselves with the properties that they accumulated in the country. They wanted to be transported without paying any cent through to Zimbabwe especially and Mozambique. So we couldn't just arrest those people while on the 11th hour as they are going back to their country, and the issue here is undocumented person or persons. Home Affairs had to deal with those people.
I've got a clear understanding of the undocumented. I'm talking about stolen vehicle arrest went down from last year. You didn't receive the same target as last year in terms of arrest. Last year you arrested 2008-9 was 95 people arrested. 2019, 76 arrests. Why is there a decline in arrests? Illegal firearms arrests down from 156 to 115. Illegal goods arrests is up from last year, but it's down from the year before. That's what we are trying to understand.
Madam Chair, I was tired of it.
Madam Chair, on the ICLOS recovery up, arrest down, I think one area is a cooperation of the southern countries, which will give us a better recovery. The result of bringing back the cars from these countries without bringing back the people that would have stolen the cars. That's part of it. The cooperation is much bigger on recovery. I don't think we have achieved the same on the who brought the car in the particular country, especially Zambia, Zim, I think Tanzania. As we speak, there are people that are there to come and fetch those cars back. I think indeed the recovery is up, but the arrest has gone down. That would be on vehicles, Madam Chair. That could be the explanation, because the other things on recovery is a technology. There are quite several cars that got abandoned because of you steal it. If you stop it, you might not start it again because of technology. And that car would be recovered, abandoned, and then you don't. It's difficult to find a person that is there. But the other one on high recovery, are same people, Madam Chair, of who run the syndicate, that you will have 10 cars stolen by one person. Yeah, so the rest of the people will be less than the car recovered, because they run those syndicates on their cars.
I'm sorry to be difficult, but I mean, that's again not what is actually reflected. In fact, the cars recovered went down from 530 to 340. Illegal firearms recovered at the borderlines went down. It didn't go up. Arrests went down accordingly. So I need to know, why has there been a decline? Have we not focused as much on the borderlines? What is the situation? Because in 2008-09, 265 firearms, illegal firearms, were recovered borderline security, borderline policing. 2009-10, it is 179. Vehicles, 2008, recovered 530. 2019, 340. And then the rate accordingly is down. Are people now suddenly not stealing as much cars or taking them over the border, or why? Why is this?
Madam Chair, that could be the answer. There is a downtrend on car stealing. Maybe this year will tell us that. But part of it on the border would be cooperation still with other agencies, that people, they find it a bit difficult to cross as it would have been before the cooperation. There is one country that I'm not going to mention, that the cooperation is giving us a little bit of a problem, but more and more countries, this thing is almost on permanent agenda when we meet as the chief of police in Sarak. Maybe it's becoming a less and less lucrative business for thieves to cross the borders, as they would have easily done before. That would be that maybe the strengthening of borders again, border lines. That makes it difficult for them to steal the cars and send them outside our borders. One example of difficult of borders would have been, for instance, here in Cape Town, Madam Chair, is not the area where you'll be losing a car in terms of stealing and all, because you still have to drive it to border. That's why the stealing of cars is down than anywhere else. Because the crossing of the border has been more lucrative rather than selling them inside. I'm sure the strengthening of regional policing, relationships, the borders, will keep pushing down these figures, and people may be becoming more selective in stealing cars, and stealing cars for other things rather than exporting them. The increase of stealing cars has been for the cash heist now. People, they steal cars to run cash heist, which should not be a bigger number like stealing cars to export them. But I agree, we do need to monitor this reduction. But indeed, without jumping to this without jumping to this year, you can see that there is a trend that is beginning towards that.
I don't know whether members still have other questions. I do have one or two questions on reservists, National Commissioner. In 2008-09, the department had 53,200 reservists. And in fact, in 2007-2008, you had 30,255 reservists. 2008-2009, the number increased to 53,200. End of 2009-2010, the number was 64,042. Of those, 532, according to your report, had been appointed in terms of the PSA Act. My question on this one, National Commissioner, is for us really to get clarity. Who are you now taking as a reservist? Who? Because I know for a fact that when the minister announced a moratorium in March 2009, one of the reasons was that many people who want employment are becoming reservists. And once they are there, they then demand training. And therefore, becoming another way of joining police, either than the one way of applying and so on. And at some stage, we were informed that you are now saying at least it must be Cindy Chikunga, who is probably employed and therefore does not look for employment in SAPS, who is now a reservist. And with regards to the training of reservists, how far have you done? How far have you gone with that? On CPF, according to your report, 2007-2008, we had 1111 CPF established. 2008-09, 1109. So you had numbers had decreased. 2009-2010, it's 1,114. So it actually means that you still have three police stations without CPF. And the question is why. But also, your numbers keep on fluctuating, this and that. And why? Why is it difficult that we have CPFs in all the police stations? But also, National Commissioner, I will want to hear from you. There is this thing of 20,000, and I'm happy Commissioner Skete is here. There's this thing of 20,000 that is supposed to be given to CPS for them to run whatever. Whether it should be or not, I don't know. But at some stage, CPS received the 20,000. Of course, they received that from the province. But probably you might know about it. And then it stopped, making it very difficult for CPFs to run their business, if I may call it business, or their activities. But the very fact that at some stage it was paid and stopped and so on. What is the situation? What is happening with regards to the funding of CPFs at that level? But why are we not having 117 CPFs? And do you probably know which are these stations? Because I can tell you a station that fails to establish a CPF, just a CPF, I'm telling you, will be a station that cannot police. I'm just asking, can I get courage on that, Honorable Greg?
Chair, just one or two questions, if I may. Just on the issue of borderline, it was mentioned that there's still a meeting that needs to take place with the Chief of the Army to get clarity on who does what in terms of borderline security. Could we get an indication as to more or less when do they see that meeting?
Chair. When we were heading towards the FIFA World Tournament, we received complaints from the members of SACP that they were not adequately paid overtime. You mentioned the figure of, I heard you correctly, 90-something million that was paid for overtime. I just wanted to verify whether these 96 that was paid for overtime, was this paid according to the criteria, I mean the formula that is procedural. Thanks, sir.
Also, National Commissioner, regarding a victim support rooms. In 2007-2008, you established 2,621. The following financial year, which is 2008-2009, there was a 28% increase, which therefore gave us a figure of 795. 2009-2010, an increase of 1.4, giving us a figure of 806. Why such a slow increase, a slow rate of increase between this, in fact, in this financial year? I want to say this, National Commissioner, first congratulating, I think it's Kwamashu Police Station. They have a beautiful victim support room. But also, there are women police who have passion for this work. And when you go to their victim support room, you actually realize that this can actually heal you. It's just the whole environment is therapeutic. Even ourselves who had not been abused, but when we were there, you could feel some fresh air, and that this is actually very therapeutic. It's healing, and I think one has to commend those constable for that good work. But National Commissioner, if you then go to Mdubaduba, there is no victim support room there. In fact, the CPS decided to build a structure out of their own funds within the police station. It's there. We saw it. And because it is built by or constructed by CPS, it's a very positive initiative that community members will do these things, but it cannot be what you will therefore expect the victim support room to be, in terms of windows, you know, light and so on. It's not. And when you actually interact with those members of the CPF, they will tell you that it's because they are seeing victims coming to the police station without any space for them to be counseled, you know, and so on and so forth. And therefore, they have felt that they should build this structure. This therefore says to me, why, how are we going to speed up maybe this process? What is your plan in place in dealing with this? And I'm asking these questions, understanding the fact that many of the police stations were not built for this. It's something that came with Domestic Violence Act, I want to believe, and it said you must have these, and therefore surely we will not have spaces in many of the police stations, but it is already an act. how are we going to deal with it? Though initially when you started, there was, you know, and you continued to do that, but it will seem like now you're slowing it down. And why? These are my questions.
I omitted to ask two questions that I had written down. May I ask them? Okay. Chair, the first one relates to the firearms amnesty. In some of our visits to police stations, we picked up that not all firearms at that stage had been collected. Some of the firearms that were handed in during the amnesty were still at police stations. Could we just get an indication as to whether all of those firearms have now been forwarded to the central points that they should be forwarded to, or if we still have firearms that have been handed in at police stations? That would be the one. The second relates, Chairperson, to in the actual annual report, it refers to specialized interventions, and then it talks about interventions in medium to high risk operations. And there's two questions here. The one relates to the airtime flown by helicopters and airplanes. It gives an amount of hours that were flown by the planes and helicopters, and it talks about specific amount of hours that was flown exclusively for crime-related matters, and there's a difference. It says 8,702 hours were flown by 37 helicopters and 14 airplanes, of which 7,205 hours were flown exactly for crime-related matters, such as call-outs, etc., etc. It gives you a difference of 1,497 hours. Just like to get an understanding of what would those hours be. Would it be for issues of training, etc.? And then the second question around that relates to the actual interventions dealing with protest marches and protest action, etc. I'd just like to get an understanding as to whether there's ongoing training and monitoring about how these interventions are conducted. Because sometimes one, being a lay person, but sometimes one gets the impression watching and reading and seeing what's happening, that sometimes there's an element of heavy-handedness in some of the interventions. We've seen, for instance, I know it's in this current financial year, but we've always seen a recent incident in Outback. I understand that there were SAPS members involved. I'm not sure who was involved, whether it was SAPS or local Metropolitan Police Services, but it seemed rather heavy-handed to me that there were a lot of people losing their eyes, etc. And I'd just like to get an understanding as to how is there ongoing assessment of these interventions? We also had an instance, the singer in Soweto, I think one of the singers that was involved in those car accidents, and just the way in which the crowd of school children were controlled. So I'm just wanting to get an understanding as to whether we assess these interventions, whether they actually look at what was done, was it handled correctly, and how do we enhance the training of those involved. Thanks, Chair.
I think we're going to allow the department to respond to questions. But National Commissioner, because you're talking about firearms, let me say this. It's expected, according to your instructions, that police stations will keep files, that in them the Firearms Control Act, your regulations, your national instructions, and so on. Same thing with the DVA, you're going to have the Domestic Violence Act, your national instructions, your regulations, your what if. For domestic violence, it must be in the police station, but also in each vehicle. Now it's Child Justice Act, same thing. National Commissioner, in many of the police stations, this is not the case. In many of them, it's not the case. And somewhere we go, you can actually see that they prepared for the portfolio committee and were able to pick that up, say, no, but this was prepared for the portfolio committee. Sometimes they will prepare it for the portfolio committee because it's coming and it gets lost. So it will not be there. It's not like that. The storage of firearms, where they're talking about confiscated firearms or such firearms in some of the police stations is a challenge. Is it escort police station where in the subs firearms were kept together with the heaters for the staff and so on and so forth? Now, it may not be a problem that the heater it is retransmitted at the time when we were there, but what it means is that any time they want a heater, they've got to open the safety. And as a result, when we checked the firearm, there was a missing firearm. One firearm had been taken out and not recorded, because it actually means that the safe key is exchanging hands as and when somebody wants something in the safe. It's like that. Some police stations, well, I'm not going to talk about Mzinga, because it's an exceptional case. It's an exceptional case. There they don't have Section 13 stores. They don't have anything. It's just chaos. Real, real, real chaos. But I'm talking. I'm saying it's not like there is monitoring on these things that they're happening. So the storage of firearms in keeping of firearms in police stations, in many of them, is indeed a challenge. It's not happening. But there are police stations where, is it Mpangeni, where you got into their Section 13, you asked for the firearm, it was there properly stored and so on and so forth. So you have such police stations, but where it is not done, it's just not done in a manner that when you ask questions further or you actually check, they will not know. And thing they will not know as to how many firearms are in their section taken store and how many are taken out when and so on, because there's no register. They're registering on them only when they in the CSC. From there, when they go to stores, there is no register. So whether it is still in the stores, or it's gone out for ballistic testing, or it's been stolen, they don't know, and it's all well and done, and that's it. So I'm just raising this because, I don't know, but it is becoming a problem. It is becoming a problem. Mr. Commissioner, can you respond to these questions? And you have up to 5, 10, 15 minutes to respond to the questions.
Not necessary for them to respond now, but I think at some point before we finalise the process, we need to get some response on the Auditor General's concerns. What has been done to address them? Because I heard the Commissioner yesterday saying that, you know, it's two issues raised out of a big organisation, but the fact of the matter is it's two issues with duty impacts. And I think we need to get some feeling of what are the corrective measures that have been taken and how far are they to make sure that it actually gets addressed, because even the issue of firearms relates to the sub 13 register as well.
Well, thanks. I'm sure people will capture. Well, I'm not going to answer. I'll start from the back, Madam Chair. Well, keep going back to Mzinga, you say is not your standard. I once visited a police station and I was asked if I did make the appointment to come. I was an MEC then. The people said, do you have an appointment? And I told them who I was. I said, it doesn't matter, I should have made an appointment. So, I don't think really that's a barometer of what policy and police stations are in South Africa. But the matter has been raised, Madam Chair. The province has been alerted to begin to deal with this police station and some other police station that might have been behaving the same way. I don't know. It's not very far from the main road to Mzinga police station, so they would think that people might keep coming on them, because it's not really a struggle to just, they are on the main road, so you just get in the police station and there. So they must realize now that they are tracking people, so to work on to work on that. But also with the hope that they are not maybe under pressure, Madam Chair, of the policing history and the policing area there. If you look at Musinga as people here, they play something, at least you need four politicians there that will be at the place called Musinga. If you think of Amakosi and where I always met Kwanda Tomboshe, my heart pains that I still don't have a police station at the place called Kwanda Tomboshe, where you are in a taxi for an hour, before you reach Tokela Ferry, which is their police station. So maybe it will be also the part of, I don't know, overloaded, I don't know, of surrendering to pressure and all that, because even if you see people walking there, they are really down. Maybe beyond lambasting them, they will need a lot of support working towards their being, but also working on Umsinga as a whole to ease the situation there. But Madam Chair, this report is with me. This report is with the Provincial Commissioner, which I guess we do have to keep following it to look what will be the issue. There are 1,117 police stations. Some of them will be police stations in name. Will be really police stations in name, that you see, for whom? I don't know where you keep your guns in the police station that is converted from for whom. The police station at Mpumalanga that has no police cells, where the police will make sure that they don't arrest anybody at 3. Because if you arrest somebody at 3, you'll have to go to your police station process and then drive 70 kilometers to your next cell. By the time you come, it's 8, 7 p.m. So you rather say to them, commit crime early, please, so that I'm in the position to arrest you. Madam Chair, it's a history we have, it's a history that lives with us, and it will be longer time and not cheap to correct. I'm saying this because one has been having a problem with the management together all on the so-called re-established and built police stations. Now, there are police stations that are re-established. When you ask, they give you the reason that you believe they are correct. But that happens against where there was never even that kind of a police station, where there are green fields when it comes to police, where people that have never had a service. I heard you yesterday or this morning talking about people who have never seen a police van. Where were my kakab? If the police car drives in, there are such areas, Madam Chair, which will be a massive, massive undertaking to build and re-establish. Even those police stations that exist, if you go to Dududu police station, I don't know where those people go in summer, because the whole police station is a zinc. So as it is heating up, people are in a cooker. In winter, are in a cooler box. So, and you, people say there is a police station and you'll be told that there is, but what do you expect those people to do? And there are quite several numbers of those things that must be, not Khalashima, it's ordinary four room, Madam Chair. We converted four room to a police station. So it's a long way to go, which also impacts on the service delivery, on your victim centers, but on keeping firearms. We have raised the issue of trying to create banks firearms bans made in China, where these firearms, there are police stations that don't have capacity to keep them, so have a central area where people will be responsible, but all firearms, they go to the bank rather than keeping them in the police station. The case in hand is what happened last week in one police station. What's the name of the police? Betuan police station, Madam Chair, in the border of Northwest and Limpopo, where they just came with the two police, five people came, and they point guns on them. They took 14 9mm and 3 R5s. They just point the guns on them, and there were two, and they overpowered. They took those guns. Those were police guns that had been just delivered. If they were in the bank around there, that could have happened, because you'll have the strong rooms, but you'll have ready people to defend those kinds of things until you have a better background. Because I'm told it's just a police station name itself. So there are those larger issues that cannot just be corrected yesterday and cannot be corrected as individuals, which is a massive undertaking dealing with those matters, coming to procurement, construction and all, which takes us to previous discussions. One thing that has been discussed, let's say we have money, who shall build the police stations, Madam Chair? In that en masse thing, because we do need to build them en masse, who shall do it? So those are the discussions that we all have to undertake. Madam Chair, the question of the team centers, I don't know why, but it's been part of the subject that is close to one's heart long before this life of mine. Maybe we have been fundraising and trying to get the private company. In one province, we were in conjunction with one bank to help us to move fast on this. I'm told that there are 802 nationally at the present moment. 806 is equal to 802. Yes, I said 802. Or 806. Okay. Well, they've been added four since I received this paper. Since I received this paper, so they've added four more, because this one is 802. So I'm told there are 806, Madam Chair. I think in this financial year, we are 87. In terms of the plan, 79 to be added, Madam Chair. We are trying to move fast as we can, because we understand it's one very difficult area for any woman and child to go to the police station, Madam Chair, under those conditions. I have seen several of them where they are, that police are. Police women are really trying. They put, I don't know what you find in Gomash, but they put some fridge, they put some toys, some bed for overnight if somebody. So several of them, I think they try as much as they can to make that homely for those people that would have gone to those centers, because you don't go there under nice conditions as you go there. I think, Madam Chair, is one area where our officers have really grasped with passion, as you say. Most of them that I've seen, there is a passion around Wantum Pumalanga. I forget the police station that is in the middle of the town that I went to. When we were in Pumalanga, I went to one police station. I found it was near where you have thrown us, because you put us in the bush there. So near the police station. But the it was late at about 7, Madam Chair, as we went past. But people were still there, sitting, waiting, looking after it. There were toys, there was fridge, there was beds, and all. Triumphantly, most of them, I think, is one area where really South African police officers have grasped with a passion that it deserves. Most of them will be on that side of being passionate about that work. We hope we'll finish them soon. We'll add 79, as according to the plan on the present financial year, Madam Chair, 79 that will add. I hope we'll finish them sooner. Some police stations, I don't know if you know, but there are a few of those police stations. I think we'll find another one at Limpopo. I'll talk about the one I know. There is a police station called Mthenjini, in Twalume, Madam Chair. When I was schooling there was a shop of Mr. Smith around the police station. That shop is no more there. So that police station is alone then. I'm sure it was made specially for that shop. Now, is the police station just some in the middle of sugar plantations? Is there? I'm told in Limpopo there is one police station that you just drive. I forget the name. You just drive and you see nobody except the life is about the police. And one day, one farmer will come and you hook on that, and then again there's the boom in the bus, and then there's food, and then never again see a person around the police station. So there are police stations like those. What do we do? Do we add these facilities, or do we have to move the police stations to the areas, re-establish them where the people are? Mthenjini, I think we have agreed that we'll split it into, because the community has grown, but it's growing around the farms. Mr. Smith is gone. The police station is there, absolutely wasted. So there are such places where, rather than bringing these facilities there, check the police stations, which would be an expensive exercise. Again, but that is necessary for it to happen. I think we'll be doing the crowd control. I think we have done well as a South African police. But you must remember, we have different agencies. We have different agencies. And all these agencies are called police. I watch closely the one you talk about and some of them that would be police, but not necessarily South African police. I think we have put a lot of training, Madam Chair, on the crowd control at South African Police more than towards 2010. A lot of training. We took people to the bush, to Tabazimbi. They were trained. The man behind me was responsible for that. And we have went on to buy the gear for that. I'm sure you've seen the gear. That looks like Robocop. We have went on in a serious money. We went on to buy machines, those water cans that are not used in gardens. I'm sure you have seen them, those water cans and all that. So I think we have improved, but there is still the room to improve. But we do need to work on metros on this matter, because these things I talk about are for South African police service more than the rest of the people. Who are more close on the crowd control than the South African police per se? Who South African police will come later to support when they have already responded? And if not properly trained, there is an element of panicking and doing things that you would not have done if you had properly trained and all that. So it's one area that I know we are trying to collaborate and cooperate with metros. I hope it's improving, and I hope in Western Cape also improve, but I know for sure in Gauteng, relationship had not been very close between Metro and South African Police in the three metros in Gauteng. But since the new commissioner has arrived, there are joint planning, there are working together and all that, which I think it will help to multiply forces on a more coordinated way. There's been that relationship which is really improving. I hope it will impact in many aspects of policy. There is sometimes overhandedness and all that. That includes South African Police for the child that was killed in Free State by our own member. But that member has been arrested and all the ICT got in and all that. It was really shocking that a school kid could have been, the school kid could have been killed when we were coming from one of the most violent and the most provocative strike of the civil servants. So we would have thought that we gain the experience to handle school kids better than that. But some strikes are violent, very violent, to such an extent that they force the police to move the gear of policing there. What do you do when people in front of you deliberately burn the house of the council? And if they lay their hands, you know the council is dead. You put the water, they continue to eat. Will you stay with that? So sometimes police need to put a gear up because the destruction of property, but the loss of life itself, if they are not putting up the gear. So there will be such strikes relative to that kind of response, Madam Chair. The hours will be responded by Arab. The last one would be your policy on reservist. Madam Chair, last on the 8th, there was a pass out parade at college of about 2,000 trainees. They were all without fit, reservists. Those would be the negotiations that have taken place with the minister and those reservists. The discussions were sometimes had a lot of tension, because there was some kind of pass one, pass all. Take one, take all, reservists. It could not be. It was agreed in principle that reservists would be trained, those that were doing and all that. It was agreed. But there are things that are standards, you can't compromise on them. The criminal records, you can't compromise on that. Whether you're a reservist or what, you need to be checked, to be trained to be South African Police. That one had to be looked at, Madam Chair. They were compromised. I think it was negotiable. The question of your education standard, it was negotiable. The question of age was negotiable. But there were non-negotiables. And indeed, as I said, the criminal and the age was negotiable to a certain extent, Madam Chair. Really, because there was a reservist that was almost 78. Are you taking him to go and die in college? So those would be the issues. Even the negotiations will have their limits as we are going forward. But that has caused the minister to put moratorium overall. The minister, together with the Office of the National Commissioner, we looked at this thing and we said this is a problem. Where people with Funungela Mopocho, they want to use a back door to become South African Police. Reservist has got a clear interpretation of what it means, Madam Chair. I'm not going to go to that. And then it's like finding people marching, demanding to be paid. So why are you marching? No, we want to be paid because we work as volunteers. So now, why do you demand to be paid when you work as volunteers? So it's the same situation, this reservist thing. So the moratorium that I think did cause some confusion is that the moratorium of reservist It's got nothing to do with people that are unemployed. Because there are people that got their beautiful employment, doctors, business people, that do want to be reservists. So, the moratorium says then, it's lifted to those people with established work who want to come and join. Because it's not only beyond the beach only to be reservists, who can use your skills at the station, your computer literate, your computer guru and all. There are those people that would want. On that score, Madam Chair, but we are looking with a jaundiced eye on the people that they say, I am unemployed, can I be a reservist? For the lessons we have learned, that the ones they become a big group and then they say, we have been reservist, which means providing your services free. And they say they'll be reservist. But another thing that has been happening is that you take us first as reservist. So, which puts you in the position to take what you have and limiting your choices, rather than going to schools and recruit, going to where we want to go, but because we have this pool of reservists that demanded to be taken, we will take from there, Madam Chair, rather than having an open market joining the South African police. So, that way it is. Unfortunately, you are not allowed to be reservists yourself. Members are not allowed to be reservists themselves. They're not. But she's allowed to be a reservist, people can come, but please, it's not an employment, and it's not a breach, or it's not a waiting room for you to become a police. That one will be separate. So that's an issue about the reservist, Madam Chair. Training is continuing to those that are found to be part of those that could be acceptable. I think the age was 40. Some 45, there are people that are healthy and all. They wanted, said 40, they wanted to move 45, they wanted to move 50. I said, look, I can't, because who do you chase at 50? There are people that are fit, but at 50, who's a student of 18 years, really, where do you go? So that's on the reservist front, Madam Chair.
Then a follow-up question is, if I might have some clarity, I've been to, and I've got any number of emails from people saying they've offered their services as reservists, they go to a station that says there's a moratorium, we're not hiring. Now, I stand to be corrected, I think it was the 21st of December last year, the minister answered a question of mine, said that the moratorium has been lifted. But now the latest information I got from a question, how many reservists has been taken on in the last year? And the whole column said zero, the right way down, since last year. Now, I'm sorry, you know, when you have employed citizens not looking for a job, just wanting to do their bit for their community, going, offering their services, and they're turned away because the head of the station says, we don't take on reservists anymore, we are forbidden to. Now, who's telling the truth here? Is the minister saying that the moratorium's lifted, but nobody bothers to tell the stations? Or the station's fabricating it, or is your communication system so bad nobody knows? I'm sorry, it's just chaos. Nobody knows, and people are being turned away when they go and offer their assistance, and in the same breath, say to come and say the community must do its bit. Well, when you turn them away, what do you expect them to do?
Madam Chair, the moratorium has been selectively lifted. As I'm saying, I think I was explaining that when I said, those that have their job, as Honourable Member says, those that they work, the moratorium is lifted, that they can join as a...
I thought I made it very clear. Employed people going to stations, they have full-time jobs. They want to do their bit. They are turned away. Every single one turned away. Not unemployed people, not people looking for jobs. They have jobs. But SAPS keeps on asking communities to come and help. When they go to offer their help, they're turned away. No, we've got a moratorium. Your stations don't know this.
Madam Madam Chair, as I've said, the moratorium has been selectively lifted. That's if you've got a job, you've got your stable job, you can come. I can hear from the honourable member which are those police stations and what are their reasons. Because even then, I don't think it would be en masse, because there are things that still have to be checked, Madam Chair. You might be employed, you might be running your own taxis and having the money of running your taxis somewhere that we still refuse you to come. So, but I would like to get those specific cases, and then, but we are working on, we have worked that decision to say selectively lifted the moratorium. So, but in those specific cases, Madam Chair, I think this happened after the minister was approached. I think it was by the group of business people from around Johannesburg to say, we want to help and all that. That's then when it happened, Madam Chair.
Yeah, no, thank you, National Commissioner. I don't know whether there are other questions that are still outstanding. I'm worried about time. I want us to close. Is there any questions? I would have asked a question on the reserve system budget to say what is it for them, I mean, and so on and so forth. I would have asked that question. And I would have further said, ask a question, if is it that all of us can be reservists at the limits and so on, but the National Commissioner just touched on that. To say, yes, we're working here, we're members of Parliament, we might be 5 from or 10 from an area, can we all go to one police station and be reservists? Will it be possible? I would have asked that question. But I think, are there any outstanding questions? Can you please be very brief?
Madam Chair, Susan, can you possibly just refer to the new desk and to the pilot project? And then, Madam Chair, I think that CPA 20,000, that was possibly that once-off which has been dealt with, not by the police. The police never dealt with it. I think it was possibly by the secretariat, but not the police. The police did not pay that amount of money to CPAs. The other one was just one on, I think, overtime.
Are you saying the police did not pay money to CPS?
No, ma'am.
Not even from the provinces?
Madam Chair, mostly from, let me take from the province I come, there was money, but it was not from the South African police. It was from the Department of Safety, from the MEC's budget, not from the South African police per se. I remember at one time we put 3 million rands, Madam Chair, but it was from the MEC's kitty, not from the South African police.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The question about the youth desks, there is not at the moment a requirement for every station to establish a youth desk. It's a practice that happened as part of community policing, where police stations develop these mechanisms themselves for working with their communities. What we found out is that's quite a useful mechanism, so we are now trying to standardize those practices and developing a consistent model for how that should work. That's a process that started in the last year. We've developed a national, developed a document. We consulted it with a lot of the national stakeholders, also to bring it in line with some of the National Youth Development Agency's requirements. We're currently busy with a fairly detailed process with the provinces, where we're engaging them to try and get the good practices that's currently in the provinces. And then as a result of this process, we will then adopt a framework that provides for a consistent guideline on how these youth desks function, and then also as part of that, we will start monitoring the existence of the youth desks. At the moment, I do not have numbers for you on youth desks, but that should become available as soon as we've implemented our new framework for how youth crime prevention should work. On the pilot project, it was implemented in Alexandra, in Gauteng, in Western Cape in Kalich and Mitchell's Plain, and then in KwaZulu-Natal in Komashi. It was a phased implementation. It started originally in Alex, then in Western Cape, and then in KwaZulu-Natal. The experiences have been fairly positive, and as a result of that, we've included in our safe schools manual for how police should work with schools some of the guidelines that comes out of the good practices learned in those three projects. And we have also we used the trade finding that was given by the partners, the UK Metropolitan Police partners, the Southwark Policing Precinct. Training that we've done a pilot project with our own police trainers so that they could learn those tools and skills, and that they could include that as content in some of our police training programs for members working with young people. So we're basically going to roll it out as part of our model for safe schools, or our guidelines for safe schools, and as part of the ongoing training for in-service training for members working with young people. Thank you.
Chair. Let me just check. CPFs, I think, must be dealt with the reservists. I think that was about all the questions, Madam Chair. Thanks.
The question on the flying hours of the airwing. The airwing is used extensively for training purposes as well. And I think those additional flying hours would also, some of the bigger categories fall under the training program that we utilize the airwing for. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, I'm sure I'm not an offsite, but I must raise an issue. Yesterday, Madam Chair, I said there is a gentleman that I would not mention his name who has received bail for 12 times. That's what I said yesterday. Here, the media says, I said Bling Bling has received the bail 12 times. I did not say so. I did not say so. I said I would not mention the name of the gentleman who has received. Here they say, I said Bling Bling has received 12 times. And it continues to say, angry MPs brand the top cop a liar. I did not hear that. I did not, Madam Chair. His media report that nobody branded me a liar yesterday in the meeting, Madam Chair. So I just want to raise those. There are other issues, but they are inconsequential. But it is, I dare it, because these things were said in Parliament yesterday, and this report, they come from Beard, Business Day, and EWN. That I was branded a liar, which I did not hear anybody doing, and that I said, Bling Bling, I said I would not mention the name.
No, National Commissioner, nobody's branded you a liar, we wouldn't have, not yesterday. I think, as a matter of fact, yesterday we left the meeting with hope that something positive is going to happen, particularly from the forensic science laboratory. And we raised issues on detectives regarding training and so on, but really, not yesterday. Not yesterday, probably on another day, but not yesterday. It wouldn't have been. The spirit was not to lead us to calling anybody a liar yesterday, because I think for once yesterday, particularly on forensic services, we got a report that somehow was truthful, was what we also know. And there's no way we would have called anybody a liar, and as such, I say we never did. We didn't do it. We did not. We didn't even suggest, so it cannot be correct. National Commissioner, on a number of occasions, we have congratulated the department for their visibility during peak seasons, such as festive season, Easter, FIFA World Cup, and so on. I really believe that it wasn't necessary for me to say that again in this meeting, because it would mean that each time the department appears, I say these things. But I believe that we're dealing with visibility. In fact, with visible policing program, I still have to say that. I have to say it because launching that program in Soweto, as you told us, they're actually saying some people will not be with their families during fascism. What it actually means is that many of our policemen and women, when other people take leaves during this period, they cannot. And there is no way, as people of South Africa and public representatives, we may not appreciate the sacrifice on their part. And we need to. And we cannot, for any reason, believe that when it happens on its own, like summer, winter, springs, and autumn, or like seasons of the year. It happens because there are people who are driving these things to happen. As that happens in the process, there will be flaws, there will be challenges, sometimes there will be mountains. We are here to say if there are flaws, how do you correct them? If there are mountains, how do you climb them? But after all, people of South Africa expect to be safe in this country. When we talk about primary prevention of crime, for myself, I think visible policing program is just about that. If you talk about quick intervention, if you talk about quick arrest, when you talk about prevention itself, visible policing program is the answer. It is in this spirit that we think that if some of the strategies, in particular today, sector policing as a strategy is not properly implemented, or there isn't a clear program or strategy to implement it, we then become seriously worried. We believe that sector policing as such or as a strategy may actually improve, as introduced by the department, not ourselves. It has the capacity to improve sub-community relationships. We therefore can register, National Commissioner, that we are not happy at this stage with the report that we received, not only today, but even in the past. And it is for that reason that we'll not be happy today, that even now we still do not get a report that convinces us that now at least you know as to where you're going in as far as this sector policing strategy. It would seem like even today you still have a strategy that has no head, no tail. And as such, it can be interpreted like this and tomorrow like that. And we cannot accept that, because we also have a responsibility to oversee some of the things that the department says it's going to do. National Commissioner, I also would want to say, in rural areas, we have police stations that are effectively functioning. Newton, for instance, is one other police station that is not far from Singa police station. It has challenges, it has shortcomings, but it is a police station. People that are there, they are trying to an extent that they do service people in the area that is supposed to be serviced by Singa police station. Greytown police station is in Greytown, it's a small town. There are many challenges in that police station, but National Commissioner, that is indeed a police station. There are people who are keen to do their work, who, despite challenges, but they are still motivated to do their work. You can go to Greytown right now, go to Taxi Rank. They will, if you stand there for 5 minutes, if there isn't a police van just there around, passing by, 5 minutes time, there will be one. It's people who, despite challenges, but are still prepared to do their work. But I can't say that with the Singa Police Station, National Commissioner. I'm sorry, it's not about a lambasting, but it's about faith. There, I don't know whether it's his head of whatever, but it's part of the management who will come. come to work at 11 o'clock on Monday, not in uniform, and on his forehead is written my alcohol, and he's part of the manager. There is no police station there. I mean, I really mean it. There is nothing that is about police station that is happening in that place. The reason why National Commissioner, maybe I repeatedly say this, is because when I check their register where they record crimes or cases that are open, many of them will be rape, gang rape, murder, possession of ammunition. And these cases date back to 2002. They've never been to court because they've never been investigated. And you can actually tell that people who go to open cases in that police station now, they'll be going there out of desperation, emotions, but otherwise for an assault or anything, they will not go there because they know nobody will be arrested. People that are in their holding cells have been there for years. Because they will never go to court, by the way, because their cases will never be investigated. Because the branch commander there himself will come to work, and there is no police station. I really mean there is no police station. I don't know, because I was there in July, and probably the province went there after I visited that place. But there is Mayflower. We thought it wasn't, but Mzinga is not a police station at all. And that is why I'm not joking when I'm saying I would have requested members at some stage, I thought of phoning each one of them to say, can you support me if I take this, so that I do it on behalf of the portfolio committee, to suggest that the police station should be closed down. You wouldn't lose anything if you closed down the police station, because it's not. So I'm raising it because it's not just assault, it's serious cases that are reported there, and they've never been investigated. The station, the branch commander told me that they have a backlog of about 2000, but dating back to 2002, but when you check, they date back to more than 2000, and they've never been to court. He told me they've never, those cases have never been to court because they've never been investigated. And that is why I really am raising this, but because those people are extremely vulnerable, the poor, many of them have never been to school. They are vulnerable. They can be abused anyhow. It's real, rural, traditional people. And that is why I keep on raising this with the bit. At some stage, one will get a report that says at least that station is receiving some attention in one way or another. At the time when I was there, there was no police station. Indeed, there was a new station commander. But there is no way she would succeed with that management at all. Doesn't matter. If she had never failed in life, she will fail in that police station with that management. Human resource person, I mean head of support services, the branch commander, then she's definitely going to fail. I'm raising this for those people so that maybe that politician can receive some attention. I'm thanking you all for being here, and we will meet on Tuesday at 9:30, the venue for the meeting is S35 NCOP. S35, it's not GH41, it's S35. I think in the program there, the venue is GH41, Good Hope 41, but it is S35 NCOP. I thank you very much. Until Monday, we will be dealing with administration. This meeting is adjourned.